And we'll try to be brief. We do have another service that's scheduled for the 27th, it actually says here, which will be, now when is this actually the 27th, is it? That's what it says, actually. Yeah, join us on Sunday, October 27th at 3:30. That's for the New Prospect Church. They are having a service, and we have been invited to celebrate the 59th church anniversary, it says here. Amen. So just letting you know about that. Amen. That was probably not included in your announcement. Amen. But we thank God for letting us be here today. And we have heard quite a few blessings about what God can do for you if you serve Him. And it's a benefit and a pleasure to serve God. It's not a burdensome thing to do. If you really know God and it's an easy thing for you to do. That's what you're thinking about when you get up. And when you go to bed, you're thinking about how am I going to serve the Lord better the next day. Yeah. Amen. And so we've been talking about these things in a series throughout the year. And we have another installment that I'd like to talk with you about in the series today. And I'll try to make this as concise as possible. But we've been talking about how to love like Jesus, how to learn to love like Jesus did. And that's a big, big mouthful.
Oh, yes, it is.
Because when you think about what he did, there's no way to even really measure it. It's such a magnanimous thing that he did. You couldn't measure it if you tried.
Amen.
Amen. And I think we'll spend all eternity looking at the magnitude of how Christ has loved us.
Amen.
And we'll still find some new aspects every time we do. But for the conservation of time, let's just take a look in the Word here at a passage from the Old Covenant from the Psalms. This will be a Psalm of David, Psalm number 27, the first five verses. And we'll look in the New Testament at from the Apostle Peter, 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 8 to 11, just a few verses. So read with me Psalms number 27 and 1, a Psalm of David. The Lord is the light of my salvation. Who shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host my heart shall not fear, though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. But one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. Amen. A Psalm of David, Psalms 27, 1 to 5. May God bless the reading and hearing of his holy word. And now for 1 Peter 4, verses 8 to 11. Above all, keep fervent in your love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without complaint, as each one has received a special gift, employing it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Whoever speaks, it is to do so as one who is speaking the utterance of God. Whoever serves, it is to do so as one who is serving by the strength which God supplies, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. You may be seated in the house, and may God add a blessing to the reading of the New Covenant Word. And may he bless the readers and hearers of his word. So for just the next few minutes, I'd like to talk with you about love, grace, peace, and power.
Amen.
Four words: love, grace, peace, and power. Amen. So, and we've been talking about love. That's why we put it first, because in some sense, love covers all the rest.
Amen.
If you think about it. When the Bible says love is the greatest of these things, as Paul says, and his conclusion in the letter to the Corinthians, in 1 Corinthians 13, he says, now abide faith, hope, and love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. And I think somewhat the reason for that is the fact that love will still be there. You won't need faith once you see Jesus, because you'll be in his presence. You won't need hope once you see Jesus. You'll be in his presence. But love will still be there. And you'll always need love. Love is the greatest thing of all. And so it is probably the greatest thing that we can possess is true love. Now we're talking about unconditional love. The Greek word is agape. You've heard so much about it. And I'm not one who purports what some people have called sloppy agape. We just throw that around in any old kind of way. But we're talking about true love. The love that God has, like what he has for us. And it's a lot of times, and I would say most of the time, it's a stretch for the human mind to think about how God loves you. It was one of the most difficult things for me to embrace when I heard the good news that God loves me just like I am. It's like, what? You know, I was thinking, and the reason for that is I knew me very well. I understood how I am. And I knew stuff that I didn't think was so great about myself. And somebody told me God loves me. It's like, okay, well, I guess you don't know me. That's why you're saying that. And you try to find some reason to rationalize how he does not care for you. Or he does not love you. And then you know what, though? Once you consider the idea, God, the Holy Spirit, will continue to show you that God does love you.
Yes, he will.
Just exactly like you are. He understands how you got to be like you are. And when he made you, he made man, and he loved him from the very beginning.
Amen.
And so he continues to love man.
Yeah.
You know what? When somebody changed, and I always like to remind you this, and you know, if you've heard me teach on this topic, you know, I like to remind you that it was because of love that God made everything he did and made man in his own image.
Right.
See? And put him in dominion over everything he had made.
Yes.
And so when man changed because of sin, God is immutable. That word is a fancy $3 word that means he cannot change. And he does not change. So he didn't change no matter what mankind did. God, the Bible says, is love. In 1 John chapter 4, a number of places, you find the phrase, God is love. So, and the fact about God, anything that God is, he has always been, because God is also unchangeable. That's a word, a $3 word we use in theology. We call it immutable. In other words, there's nothing to change or to mutate, which means to change, about God.
Amen.
So if he loved man when he made him, he has never changed. So that's a fact that you need to absorb so you can understand. No matter what happened because of sin, God didn't change. He loves you just like you are. That's why you hear me say that. But I also always back that up with this. He loves you too much to leave you like you are. Because
yes.
You know, sin is what has done damage to the human system. It's because of sin that you have liars, murderers, rapists, and things of that sort. Thieves, covetous people, and all of the stuff we see that's negative. That's the fruit of sin. But God himself still loves you, and he desires to help you with all of that. So it doesn't make any difference how infected we are with the problem of sin. God is still just like a doctor would be. If you came to the hospital and you're bleeding and you're sick, he doesn't ask, let's see, what did you do? How did you get like this? No, he stops the bleeding. If he's a good doctor, he finds a way to get you healed. He doesn't try to analyze what were you doing? Were you in a robbery? And stop to question you. So God is a spiritual doctor. When you come, it doesn't make any difference how you got messed up like you are. God says that's just the fruit of sin. But I have never changed. And like the doctor, I'm going to bind up your wounds. I'm going to cover you for all the stuff you need and make sure I restore you back like you should be. Then we can talk about all that stuff. How did you get messed up? If you want to talk about it. See? And so God takes you just like you are, just as though you came into the emergency room of the spiritual hospital, which is what the church is, basically. And it's because of love. This is a spiritual hospital. We're calling men, women, boys, and girls to trust God. Come in just like you're coming in bleeding. You're pouring out blood and you're about to die. And the truth is, without God, God's grace, we are about to die. If we don't get right with God, we are going to die. We're going to be separated from God for all of time. God doesn't want it to happen. He says, I'm a doctor that has never lost a case. If you put your hand in mine, trust me by faith, then I will get you fixed up. I will restore to you, like he told over in the book of Joel. He told him, I will restore to you the years that the locusts have eaten. Locusts came in, that's a symbol there of how things and the devil will attack your life. He will attack your finances. He'll attack your health. He'll attack your spiritual well-being. He's constantly trying to break you down. And that's how we get in the circumstances that we're in. But we don't realize God loves you. He's a spiritual doctor who has never lost a case. And if you turn yourself over to him, realize he is love. Love is the highest power that there is in all the universe. When everything else is done, all these folks, politics, all the stuff we got going on in the world that's wrong, when it has exhausted and run its full course, God will still be on the throne. And those who have trusted him will still be blessed. The ones who have rejected him will be rejected, but it won't be his fault. Because he has told you, I love you just like you are. And if you accept me and put your hand in my hand, I'll put you back where you need to be. I'll fix you up where you were broken. I'll build you up where you've been torn down. Anything wrong with you, I can fix it. You know why? Because I'm the designer that made you like you are. And when the devil's traps got a hold of you, pulled you every which way, tore you apart, broke down your system, he said, I protected you. That's the only reason you're still here. Even though you haven't trusted me. But guess what? When you begin to trust me, now you can enter into a fact. You know what? I didn't just say trust me. I put my money where my mouth was. I sent you my only son. Allowed the world to brutally work on him, just destroy his character. They did everything to break Christ down. God already knew what would happen when he sent his son. See, he had written it down in the word. For generations, from the days of Moses to Malachi, he wrote down the whole story. That he would be wounded for your transgression, bruised for your iniquity, chastised for your peace. That by his stripes you would be healed. He had written it down years before it came to pass. They pierced my hands and my feet. And all that was all written in the word. Blow by blow. Cursed is everyone who's hanging on a tree. Written in Deuteronomy. All through the Bible, the story of the cross and the crucifixion was written in the law and the prophets. Jesus came to allow that to be fulfilled personally against himself. And this is the reason why, you know, that's why the Bible, when it says something that sounds so simple, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. In other words, he knew that the soul of the world was in the hands of the devil. It still is, even today. The Bible says the whole world lies in the lap of the wicked one. See, that's why you see all the stuff going on out here. But God has given the devil his space. But there's coming a day, and the word says that he's going to be cast into the lake of fire along with everybody who has bought into his lies and has not accepted the grace of God. That's why the first word we talked about is love. The second one is grace. Grace is undeserved kindness, unmerited favor. God's grace is what allows evil stuff to go on, because God has given the people committing evil an opportunity to stop and turn around and do right. See, he gives them space to do it. People always look at the evil and accentuate that. I was thinking about the lady Felicia talked about, where she said, oh, she don't want to hear nothing about God. Why don't she get up every morning and say, thank you, Lord, for letting the sun rise. Thank you for air to breathe. Thank you for all the good stuff in my life. That people don't see all the good stuff. Thank you for my good health. Thank you, I can even see. Thank you for all you did, food on my table. Why don't you thank him for everything he did do for you? But you look at the one thing that you say, well, look what he did. And you zoom in on the one thing that's not right. Why did that little baby have to die? Well, why don't you thank him for the air you breathe? Why don't you thank him you got lungs at work that I can suck some air in? Why don't you thank him I got eyeballs and I can see? Why don't you thank him for all that he's doing for you, all the days that have been good? You know what? Our bad days and the terrible times we have are few compared to all the good days and the blessings that you get. See, we got more stuff to thank God for than we have to be upset with God about.
Come on.
And you know what? If you start thanking him for what he already did, you can handle when you see something like that. But that's not him doing it. That's him allowing that kind of thing. God is just as grieved as you are when something bad happens. But God is there because he is a God of grace and he gives people time to repent. And what God will give you if you trust him, anything you're going through, is he'll give you peace. Peace is what, it's not just the absence of a turmoil. Peace is a state of mind that I know no matter what's going on, that the Lord is with me. He is not against me. He loves me. I see all this terrible stuff. I remember a time I was participating in the terrible stuff, and now God has given me enough grace that I can say I don't do that anymore. A lot of things. I still got some more stuff. He's working on that too. But let me just say, his grace is allowing you to carry on. And that's why the songwriter says, it was grace that brought me this far, and it's grace that'll lead me on. See, because he knew that there's sufficient grace in the Most High God who loves me. Therefore, I can have peace right now in the midst of the storm. It doesn't make any difference what's going wrong in my life. The psalmist knew it. He said, the Lord is the light of my salvation. Whom shall I fear? If I'm trusting in God, why should I be fearful of anyone? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Who is bigger and badder than the Lord? The answer is there is no one. When the wicked, notice this, verse 2 in Psalm 27, even mine enemies and my foes, as people keep coming against me, afflicting me, came up on me to eat my flesh. They had no good intention for you. They stumbled and failed. How many times have you been threatened with something that didn't mess you up permanently?
Yes.
How many threats have you and I been through? Some stuff that happened, but I'm still here. I can't think of how many times I've been in car accidents. I've had folks shooting around me. I've had all kinds of stuff. I've been threatened with disease. I've been threatened with a number of things. And you know what? I'm still here. No matter what happened, God has sustained me. It's not because I'm so good or did everything right or none of that. It's because he is awesome. He's great. He's all powerful. And if I trust him, that's what I've been doing. I'm leaning on you more, Lord. See, more and more every day. So when your enemies come and your foes, that's the folks who have chosen to be against you, he said they came to eat up your flesh. They had your ultimate destruction in mind, but they stumbled and failed. Though a host should encamp against me, don't make any difference who you are, my heart shall not fear. See, that's that peace in the midst of a storm. My heart shall not fear, though war should rise against me. In this will I be confident. You know why? Because if the Lord is your shepherd, you shall not want. He has said that already. You are my shepherd. Even if I go through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil. Why? For thou art with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me, David said. You prepare a table before me. The enemy trying to shut me down, but you prepare a smorgasbord for me in the presence of my enemy. My cup runneth over. That means you welcome me and keep on filling up my cup so we can have close fellowship one with another. See, and so he says, one thing have I desired of the Lord that I will seek after. This is where your mind ought to be. That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. And to behold the beauty of the Lord and inquire in his temple. See, that's what I'm looking for. If I don't have time to dwell on the small stuff. It might be big stuff in somebody's eyes. But God is a rock that you can build on. If you trust him, he'll give you peace even in the midst of a storm. And in order to get this peace, you know what? We've been talking about the ministry of the Holy Spirit. God's Spirit is who gives you the confidence that because he dwells in you, that no matter what you're dealing with, no matter what kind of negative circumstance you might have to deal with. And there's always going to be something there. Jesus said, in this world you shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer. Isn't that what he said? John 16:33. These things have I spoken to you, that in me you might have peace. But But in the world ye shall have tribulation. He lets you know there's going to be trouble. Why? Because I still got some folks I want to save who have not given their life to me, who have not trusted me. They're going through changes. They may afflict you a little in the process. But I spoke this to you that in me you might have peace. So whatever you're going through, think about where you're seated. I'm in Christ. I'm in Christ, and Christ is in God. And he's seated at the right hand of the Most High. He's already successfully come through everything, including the grave. So you don't even have to worry about the grave. In me, he says, you might have peace. In the world, as long as I leave you there, you shall have tribulation.
Don't have it.
He promised you, you're going to go through some trouble. But don't let it take your peace. Be of good cheer, he said. Because I have overcome the world. And he's the only one who can really successfully say that. You know why? Because they did everything against me, and they couldn't even take my life, really. I only came to fulfill what my Father had said would happen. He said, no man taketh my life from me, but I lay it down that I might take it up again. He was at full charge, letting you know, no matter who comes against me, even though a host should be encamped against me, that I shall not fear. I shall not be afraid. This is really messianic to some degree. Because Jesus is the only one. He had a host encamped against him. They came to eat up his flesh. And they stumbled and fell. Like when they came to collect him in the garden. And they said, are you Jesus of Nazareth? He said, I am. And boom, they all got knocked backwards and hit the ground. Y'all remember that? You see, I am. He spoke that name, that eternal name of God. So he was letting them, you may be coming with torches and all of that to collect me and take me in, but I know what's up, and I'm the one with all the authority. So if I go with you, it's going to be because I want to. He knocked them down more than once when they came. And then they got up, oh my goodness, you know, what's up here? And he said, yes, I am Jesus. And he went with them peacefully. That's why the Bible said he was fulfilling scripture. Yeah. As a lamb led to the slaughter. Yes. So he openeth not his mouth. Right. He gave himself over to those who came to collect him. And because he knew his Father's word must be fulfilled. Mm-hmm. And so the psalmist resolves in his mind in verse 4, one thing I have desired of the Lord, that I will seek after. And this is where you and I have to be focused. Seek after the Lord. Seek after his plan. Seek after his will. Seek after his purpose. Don't let the stuff in the world trip you up. Keep your mind steadfast on the Lord. That's why Paul told the Corinthians, be steadfast and unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For in as much as your work is not in vain in the Lord, God knows what you're going through. He will give you the strength, the money, the healing, whatever you need to fulfill his will. The psalmist knew it. He said, I only want to inquire of the Lord in his temple, for in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up on a rock. See, so if you're building on the sound foundation of God's word, that's why Jesus told the parable about the two houses, one being built on sinking sand, the other one being founded on the rock. If you're building up on the rock of his word, you can know that you have a blessing, and that the storms can come, the winds can blow, and the rains can descend upon your house, but it'll be standing even when the storm is over, because it's founded on the rock. So Peter, reminding the New Testament church, he says, above all, keep fervent in your love one for another.
That's what he said.
You and I understand each other is going through changes, every one of us.
Yes.
There is no family in this church that's not being affected by something in the world. You know, we have so much in common, even in the suffering, common suffering that we go through. You know, but you're not going through it by yourself. Your brothers and sisters on either side of you are going through it as well. So we're going through it together. That's why this is common fellowship, communion. See, and you have somebody else that understands what it means to go through trouble.
Yes.
Seated right next to you, just as David examined his life, he discovered that because he is loved by Almighty God, that there are no enemies too awful for him to defeat, nor fear, because of his protective covering provided by God that abides with him and produces peace in the midst of every trial, and also puts praise in his heart toward his Savior. That's what we should do.
Amen.
You know what I'm going to do? Rather than worrying, like that song said, I won't complain. I'm not going to complain. I'm just going to give you some praise. I'm going to praise the Lord in the midst of my circumstances. You know what? If you have a problem, guess what? God has a problem.
Yeah.
And there is no problem that God cannot fix.
That's right.
So you and I need to learn. That's why you take that burden off. Peter said, cast all your care upon him, because he cares for you. So, and you can cast it up on one another. Be fervent in your love one to another. That's what he says. Because love covers a multitude of sins. Be hospitable one to the other without complaint. As each one has received a special gift, did you know that if you're saved, if you've trusted God, he has gifted you with gifts of the Spirit. You may not even know what they are. Some of you do know what they are. I heard when we were talking about these men who serve God here. They know how God has gifted them to communicate, to care and have concern enough to get up and go and do something about a problem.
Yes.
You've been gifted with that. Some of you have different areas that you feel compelled to do. That's why you do it. It's not so much, oh, I'm not looking for a pat on the back. God has given me and enabled me to do what he's called me to do.
Right.
He said, and when you're doing it, you know what? I will never leave you.
Never.
Nor forsake you. You won't be doing it by yourself, because when you go, guess what? I'm coming with you. So God is with you as you go out and as you represent him. And that's why he says here, be hospitable to one another without complaint. As each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. In other words, God has multiple different types of grace that he's issuing out. Now, we've looked at love, grace, and peace, and God will give you power. And that's what we've been talking about in our study on the Holy Spirit. He'll give you power to do anything that you set your heart to do, if you do it in his name. See, it doesn't have to be in my strength, but in the power of the Most High God by his Spirit, we will do it. The Apostle Peter admonishes the church to maintain an increase in love toward one another, which is a sure sign of spiritual growth and maturity, which produces an environment of encouragement against sin and for the development of good spiritual growth. That's why we need to come to church. The writer to the Hebrews said, forsake not to assemble yourselves together. He says, as the manner of some is, you may see some folks who don't do it. But that ought to stimulate you to do it even more.
Amen.
Set the world aside and tell the world, no, I'm coming to study because I need to hear a word from the Lord. Study to show thyself approved unto God as workmen that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. When you get an understanding of the Proverbs says, in all you're getting, get understanding. Understand what God is doing and what he has called you to do. And he will strengthen you to do whatever it is. And that's why I want you to see the last verse here. Peter says, whoever speaks is to do so as one who is speaking the utterances of God. Understand what you say is having a great impact on your situation. Whoever serves is to do so as one serving by the strength which God supplies. In other words, God is the one supplying you and me with whatever it is that we're doing in his name. So that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory, the dominion, forever and ever. See, all of this is for the glory of Christ.
Yes.
And everything Christ does is for the glory of his Father.
Amen.
Everything the Spirit does is for the glory of Christ.
Amen.
So it's connected like that, from me and you through the Spirit to Christ, and from Christ to the Father. So in all things the Father can be glorified. The stewardship of God's grace, by which he has gifted each person of the church, which with individually, in other words, he gives us individual gifts, is for the purpose of putting on display God's love and his care for the redeemed for whom Christ died and rose again, in order to secure a never-ending glory for the Father and his elect, as people whom he has chosen, who are kept by the power of God to the praise of the glory of God. And as I was saying this morning, we don't know who God is choosing. It's not my business.
Right.
It's his business.
Yeah.
God loves you just like you are.
Yes, he does.
And I've been told to preach and tell you the good news. He loves you just like you are.
Amen.
He knows what you're doing. I don't.
Follow.
It's not my business. That's between you and him.
Right.
But he said, make sure I tell you that he loves you and he has done what's necessary for you to be saved.
Yes.
He's given his son. And that's how we enter into covenant with God, is by accepting the good news, the gospel that he has given his son. But no matter who we are, no matter what we have done, we can know that we have complete forgiveness. We have what he says there. We have love,
yes,
grace, peace, and he'll give you power over everything else in your life if you simply trust in him and believe that God is raised him from the dead. See, Jesus is the only one that has ever been born of a woman. Went through the whole life, suffered everything and more than what the psalmist said, including death, humiliation, disgrace, all kinds of things. It says, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame. See that? And is sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. The only one who ever did that, came from the heavens, equal face to face with the Father. Took on a body of flesh, got up out of the grave after it was all done.
Wow.
After he had been crucified. No one else could ever.
No one else.
You could just die of a heart attack and that's it. Done deal. Much less being spit on, mauled, and ridiculed, mutilated, and pierced, and all of the stuff he went through. See, so we knew that was supernatural. Only God could do that.
Only God.
See, who could do all that and not sin? I tell you what, I have a problem when I hit my hand with a hammer.
Look out now.
Much less some people who you know hate you if you haven't done anything to them.
Yes.
And they're spitting on you and talking about you, slapping you, and say, prophesy who hit you. That's evil. That's mean. How could you take it? I don't know if anybody here could. I don't think so. But he did all that. He bore
yes,
all
he
that for you.
Yeah.
It was written in the book before it happened. People were fulfilling his scripture and didn't even know that's what they were doing. See, he said, my own dear friend has lifted up his heel against me. Talking about how Judas betrayed
yes,
him.
Yes.
Sold him for 30 pieces of silver.
Yeah.
In a Jewish law, that was the price of a man. It's 30 pieces of silver. You're just a mere man. But they didn't know it was Almighty God, veiled in flesh. Came to pay all of our sin bills.
Milo!
In full. The only one who could do it successfully.
The only one.
With no sin. That's amazing. I think about it. I put it in my mind and it blows my mind to think that anybody could go through that and not sin. And then, you know what he said? No man takes my life from me. They did all that. He wasn't even dead.
Amen.
He said, but I lay it down. So once everything had been done, he said, I thirst so he could fulfill the scripture.
Yes.
And they put a sponge in his mouth with bitter wine and vinegar. And he spit it out and said, it is finished.
It's finished.
And gave up the ghost.
Amen.
See, he said, Father, to thy hands I commit my spirit. See, still in total purity from the womb to the tomb. And I submit this spirit that's unblemished with sin back to you. And it's for them, whoever believes in me. He did that for you. I hope you know it. In fact, I know
oh,
you know
yes,
it now. But I certainly notice you have been told.
Today.
So if you don't get saved today, it won't be our fault. It's not God's fault.
My Lord.
You can leave with no salvation or you can take it right now.
Right.
You can say, Father God, in Jesus' name, I believe that you died for me.
Yeah.
And you got up off the grave with all power. So that even a wretch like me can be saved.
Yeah.
And I come and put my hand in your hand.
Yeah.
The Bible says today if you will hear his voice, do not harden your heart. Let us stand if you can. If you're not able to stay in your seat, let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we trust the gospel, Father, nothing else.
Mm-hmm.
Like the songwriter, we say, nothing in my hand I bring, but only to your cross, I cling. Because that's all that you require is faith in your son. That you raise him out the grave so that whoever believes in him will not perish, but will have everlasting life. And so, Father, we accept that gift of grace. We know the gift of grace is because of your love. And because of that, you give peace to everyone who puts their trust in the name of Jesus. And because of that, you give us power
to walk by faith and not by sight.
Yes.
And so, Father, we thank you right now.
Thank you.
We give you praise. We give you the glory.
Hallelujah.
It's in Jesus' name that
Jesus
we pray.
Name.
Whoever's praying with me, Father, fill them right now.
Right now.
Seal them with the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
For the day of redemption. And we give you all the praise and the glory. It's in Jesus' name we
Jesus
pray.
Name.
The whole church said together.
Amen.
Amen. Praise. Hallelujah. Amen.